DZ Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams. You can call me Jay or J Love. I am joined by, as always, a man who opened his arms wide and said, "My dark skinned brother, you can hang out with me and talk sports." He played not only professional baseball, he played in the National Football League for that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He's an author. He's a public speaker as well. Ed Smith, what is good, my brother?
My dude, my brother, my ace, my number one. First and foremost, want to wish you a happy 49th, bro.
Oh, snap. I was trying to get it past the catcher.
Shoot, I got that on my phone. That's a yearly reminder right there, bro. one step away from that nickel.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. What's funny is, so you know, for those who are listening or watching, whatever. So I have two sons. One is 22, and the other is Elijah. He's not 22. He's just about to graduate high school. So my sons, they stay in constant contact with one another, and of course the draft, which we're going to get into in just a second. So they're both Cardinals fans. And so the draft is coming up, and Elijah FaceTimes my oldest son, Kendrick. And so Kendrick says, "What are you doing? You getting ready for a podcast, Dad?" I said, "Yeah, I'm getting ready to do the Believe, you know, as soon as this doggone first round ends." And he says, "I am Javon Adams, and that is Ed Smith, the first Super Bowl bound team, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "All right, son, I get it. He is an author. He is a public speaker. What is good, Brother Jay? Brother Jay."
It's crazy. Hey, they emulate us all the time, man. Yesterday, Quentin, the first thing he wanted to know was, "Hey, when you gonna have me on so I can spit some stuff?" I'm like, "All right, man, we'll get you there soon." Happy birthday to you, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, so we gonna get into. I want to have some fun with this, man. We have fun anyway. But what's interesting to me is those when they do the panning to the war rooms,
yeah,
and you see all the slapping on the backs, you see the bro hugs and all that stuff. So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was one. There was one, and I want to say it was. Oh, it was Denver. Denver's war room, when they showed it, was just, "Yeah, man, that's good. What's up? All right." As if there's no interpersonal connection. There's no communication that goes on. There's no joy in Whoville over in Denver. But a lot of those, they were overly happy in some of the war rooms. I mean, you're just getting a player who you don't know is going to be a success or not. But at least make me believe it. Make me believe it, Denver.
Every player they get is the one that's what we wanted. That's what, like, nobody got the player that they didn't want. So, yeah. You know, it's funny. One of my observations is the young man sitting between mom and dad with the girlfriend on the outside. Yeah. And all of a sudden the girlfriend's trying to, like, either get in the picture or get around mom.
And she ain't having it.
I said to Quentin last night, I swear to you, I said to Quentin, he was like, "What's wrong with that?" And I was like, I said, Quentin, "How many girlfriends you had in the last 6 months?" He looked at me, smiled, right? I said, "Think about this." I said, "That girl right there, in 2 years, they ain't even going to remember her name." And she's sitting there trying to climb in the picture and get the hug and stuff like that. And mom is playing straight goalie, bruh, boxing out. Man. I mean, some of them are so obvious, but, you know, it's so funny, bruh.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, some of them, depending on when – especially when the draft picks are shown and you can see that they blinged out, either they rented those jewels or they highly leverage themselves, which is a conversation for another day. But there are going to be some of those women out there that are looking, saying, "Oh, okay, what's his name again?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait, hold on. He's, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to be making a trip."
Him.
To, yeah, man, yeah. It's going to, you got to, they're going to have to be, what, use the skills of discernment is something that they're going to definitely have to do.
What was that, the Menace to Society, when the father was telling about, "You're the hunted."
it sounds like we're making it, but you were in that world. You were in that world in terms of, on, you know, whatever level you want to say, but you probably around athletes that are, that were the hunted, and it happens now. The salaries get bigger, and you are definitely hunted.
Yes, sir. I got a nephew in the league right now. I always try to constantly remind him, you know, make sure you take care of that thing, man, because, you know, they're out there looking for you.
So let's look on a couple of things. Let's go over some of these drafts. I want to get some of your high-level thoughts, and then I'm going to throw out a couple of picks just randomly and get your thoughts on it. But before you know, we talked about it. We do the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast. So if you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, Believe in the Arizona Cardinals, just type in Believe in Cardinals. Go to Believe.com. Wherever you find your podcast, just search Believe in Cardinals, or you can go to YouTube as well. So you can go to the Easy Sports Talk Show and you'll find it on there as well. But Michael Penix Jr., he gets drafted by the Falcons. I just want your thoughts on that one, because that seemed to be the was the head scratcher. Yes, that was the head scratcher. And then there were reports that Kirk Cousins is upset. Here's the thing. I can understand why Kirk Cousins would be upset, but here's why you have to remember you have to be humble. And this is what I mean by that. When RG3 was drafted, same draft, Kirk Cousins was drafted as well. Yeah. You can imagine that RG3, he was probably just as he with all the bravado, saying it doesn't matter who they draft, I'm going to be the man. But think about that as a different gentleman was the kind of the incumbent, so to speak, or was going to be the heir apparent to be the starting quarterback at that time for the Washington team, and how that changes. So you gotta remember where you came from and not try to blow up just because you a star at the bank. But I wanted your thoughts on that, Michael Penix Jr.
Well, first off, the move is such a head scratcher because they just went out and paid Kirk Cousins all that money. You know, 38-year-old quarterback, coming off of an injury, an Achilles injury at that, but they
35.
35. Is he 35?
35, yeah.
Okay. I was off a couple then. But still, you know, coming off that Achilles injury, they threw all that money at him. It goes to show you, Jay, well, one, we have no idea what goes on in these war rooms and things like that. Not one mock draft, and we've seen 115 of them over the last month and a half. Not one mock draft had the Atlanta Falcons picking a quarterback because they went out and got Kirk Cousins. You figure with all those weapons they got, you go out and you either do something on the defensive end or you even go get them another toy to play with, you know, Cousins and the group, you know. Instead, within that war room, they throw the curveball at everybody. There were some teams who thought, you know, maybe later down, Seattle later down the draft, you know, hey, we might have a shot at getting Penix because, you know, we've gone through all the quarterbacks that are going to go so far. And then, boom, they go out and do that. And it just goes to show that sometimes there isn't a plan, bruh. Sometimes there isn't. We can all say we have it mapped out and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Something falls in your lap and you just can't resist it, bro. And for Cousins, this shows you too, I don't care how much money you make.
Yeah.
And these guys are millionaires, right? Multi-millionaires. Everybody has an ego and everybody's feelings can get hurt. And that's exactly what happened with Kirk. Because imagine this, Jay. First, they had to convince Cousins to come there. Because, you know, he had other suitors, Minnesota. They talk all nice to him. Kirk, this is, look at what we got down here. Your wife's from down here. We're going to make you happy, bro. Come on down here and hang out with us for a few years. And we're going to guarantee all that money, you know. But and so he's feeling the warm and fuzzies. That, you know, Arthur Blank's down there. You know, hey, come on down here. I get some Home Depot cars and everything, bro. You're not you don't have to pay for anything, you know. So they get him there, and he's thinking, this is beautiful. They love me here, you know. And then they go out, you find out the whole time they've been cheating on you with that other broad. And not just, hey, bro, not just behind your back.
Yeah.
You called him out to dinner. They bringing her home. You went on a vacation, and they brought her into your house.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck. And you got to play this out. And you got to play it out with the dude that's basically there to take your job in a few years. True. And if you falter in any way, every day you got to see this dude. And that's the part about it. It's hurt. One, it's one thing to have hurt feelings, but it's something else every day to walk in knowing that dude is – they liked him enough to bring him in there, and he's your eventual replacement. And it's not a comfortable feeling, man. And, you know, why – what they said to Kirk and then what they did could not have probably been two of the furthest things from existence.
Here's something I heard today. I was listening to SiriusXM. It was it was the DA show. As soon as I heard it, I said, I gotta run this by Ed. Think about the audacity. So you are the GM and you the GM of Atlanta Falcons, and what's the owner of the Falcons?
Arthur Blank.
You go to Arthur Blank and say, we need $90 million because we're going to sign Kirk Cousins. And he says, all right, cool. All right, fine. So they go through and they do whatever else they do for, you know, free agency. And then you come to the draft and then you say, we're going to draft a quarterback. Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me we done got a quarterback in free agency, and then we're going to spend, what is this, going to be $16 million on top of what they're having to pay Kirk Cousins just for the quarterback position? That is the wild audacity. If I was Arthur Blank, I would, because he had to approve it. He was in the war room. I saw him, and he was getting up, and he's they need to win a Super Bowl for him before he's out of here. But yeah. but there's no way in the world that I would, if I was the owner of that team, that I would have signed off on that. Hell no. Here's the thing. It work with Kirk. Y'all better do something. That's what y'all get paid for, is to find these diamonds in the rough, because this is
let me throw something at you though, Che. It wasn't too many years ago that it was okay to go draft another quarterback and groom him, and to eventually replace mm-hmm. what you had in there. We've had many a quarterback back in the day, they would go draft one, and then it wasn't your job to train him, but we all knew what the, you know, I mean, Brett Favre left Green Bay because of what? Because they drafted a quarterback. Yeah. You know, and this stuff used to happen all the time. I don't know. I wonder about the quarterback seems like the one position where if we draft you that high, we got to play you as soon as possible. Yeah. Instead of being the toughest position to play in all of professional sports, how come we can't draft you and then groom you maybe a year or two? Then when you're ready for the position, we slide you in there. It's almost like we're on this different schedule now because I don't know whether it's because of the economics, because of the analytics. You got to get a quarterback on his rookie deal.
The rookie contract.
You only got 5 years, you know, because then you have to pay him. But I mean, it wasn't too long ago where this was the norm. You went out and drafted a quarterback to take over eventually, and he learned from the guy in front of him. Now it's like blasphemy. You can't draft a quarterback because you already got a quarterback. And, you know, established, you know, we all know Kirk could go down in a heartbeat too. Now,
that's true.
And I guess I'm doing the yin to the yang that the Falcons pulled on us. But I mean, I'm trying to figure out what their thought process is. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they know more about Kirk's progress from that Achilles than they even all let on. You know, he's going to give you the, I'm ready to go. But what if he is, you know, hampered a little bit? You know, or re-injures it in this season, you know, and then
but that's when you'd want a veteran backup, not a rookie that's trying to learn on the fly.
Very true. Very true. I was trying to make a case for him. they confused me just like they confused everybody else. I was trying, but yeah, that one, you talking about a head scratch. It's like everybody's still trying to figure that one out. And then, like I said, they were nowhere in sight to get a quarterback. It wasn't mentioned not one time because apparently you'd gone out and gotten your solution. Kirk's going to be there for at least the next 3 to 4 years. Case closed. We'll look at the draft a few years from now. But nah, they were like, nah, we're going to get that one right there. And the other thing I'll throw out to you, remember I mentioned this yesterday, left-handed quarterback.
Yeah. When you mentioned that, I hadn't even thought of it. I hadn't even, but go ahead, say it here. Go ahead.
Everything is reversed when you go a left-handed quarterback. There are not many of them in the league, in the history of the league for that matter. You got Tua in there right now. Now you got Penix, because everything flip-flops when you have a left-handed quarterback. Your blind side goes from your left side for a right-handed quarterback to the right side. So you got to have your dominant pass protector on that side to protect them over there. There's all the play calls and everything. If you're going to roll the quarterback out, you usually roll him to his strong arm. Now, if you're doing different things, it's almost like, you know, you, if the word, you ever follow an ambulance, you look in your back, your rearview mirror, and you see it says ambulance because they spell it backwards on the doggone thing. So when you see it in your rearview mirror, it looks like the real thing. And that's exactly what happens when you get a left-handed quarterback who's your backup, whatever. Everything has to translate differently. And while you're, and then, you know, I just don't understand the philosophy behind we're going to get a quarterback and then let's complicate it even more. He's left-handed. So if we do have to use him, we got to translate everything in a different manner. Just totally blows my mind what they did.
Yeah, it's crazy. So let's stay along. So I threw one out to you because I want to throw out some, because we know some names. So there, we know that when it comes to quarterbacks, that oftentimes they're going to strike out. The overwhelming majority of times that quarterback is not going to find that success on the team that drafted them. So what I wanted to do was just throw out a couple names that do you think that they will, that 4 years from now, because that's the window, 3-4 years. So 4 years, mm-hmm. 3-4 years from now, that will say that player did not live up to their, to where they were drafted. So the first one, do you think Jaden Daniels. Do you think Jaden Daniels will live up to where he's drafted? He was drafted number 2 by the Washington Commanders.
If the Commanders can get out of their own way from their past, meaning obviously they have new ownership, got rid of Dan Snyder, if they can not be the Commanders, you got Kingsbury in there as an offensive coordinator. He seems to do pretty well with some of these quarterbacks, especially he won't be the head man, so we don't have to worry about that. I think if you put enough weapons around Jaden, keep him upright. That's the thing about it. The only thing I worry about Jaden sometimes is his small frame. You know, right. They take a beating in there. Keep him upright. Keep him from – one of the things that he mentioned was he wants to be one of the best running quarterbacks ever, like Michael Vick. I'm like, oh, whoa, whoa. I would be in that meeting. I'd be like, well, wait a minute.
Whoa, whoa.
We want to keep you in the pocket, young brother. We don't need you running around out there. There's some – yeah, you did that in college – there's some dudes out there that'll make you rethink that real quick at that next level. You got defensive linemen running, you know, four sub-5 40s and stuff like that, and you know, hitting like bricks, ton of bricks. So you might.
I'm gonna let you finish, but if you're the Washington Commanders and you hear that, shouldn't somebody have asked him that in the interview? And if you hear that, you say, maybe we'll go with Drake May or something. Maybe we'll go with somebody else. Cause it might, if you got your mind set on that, we might have to get our mind set on somebody else.
That's one of those. He said it. And when he said it, they were like, wait a minute. He never said that when we were talking to him. And we got to talk to him about that one. That's one of those. He got caught up in the moment, you know, things, you know, and like I said, you don't want to be out there running around too much, man. Well, like I said, you take that first hit. Ask Robert Griffin. You know, I mean, you got some history right there in that building. So they'll get after him on that.
Even ask Lamar Jackson for as sturdy as he is. I mean, we know that he's been injured during the course of his young career. I mean, of his career, but he takes some big hits too, and he had to learn. Hey, I'm gonna try to. I need to mitigate this stuff.
You know what you do? You go get one of those slip slide things, you know, you have in the backyard. You put the sprinkler on and you water it down, and you have him practicing sliding like for 2 hours a day. Slide, slide, slide. You better get out of bounds and slide. But as long as they can keep him upright, I think his talent. And here's the thing. When you pick that high, obviously it's like, well, what is the ceiling for him? And the floor, you know, if you're picked in the third or fourth round, I mean, it's like, well, you know, who cares? You know, you're a bonus if you do anything. Whereas if you're picked in those first couple picks, if you don't win a Super Bowl by your third or fourth year, you know, you're a bum, you know, that type of thing. Now, I think it will grade on the scale in a few years. Now, 6 quarterbacks picked in the first 12 picks, there are going to be some failures in there because every one of them is not going to hit. I have my thoughts on a couple of them. I think
so. Give me a couple of what you think, because again, 39-year-old Bo Nix, he's been in college football for forever. But who are a couple before we head out of here? Who are a couple that come to mind for you?
I'm sorry, but I'm not a big fan of J.J. McCarthy. I mean, anytime you're a quarterback for, you know, national championship team, but they had games when he threw the ball for 100 yards and they ran the ball for 250 yards. There's a reason why. He wasn't throwing the ball.
Maybe he's, remember, Harbaugh, the former quarterback Harbaugh wasn't a great quarterback. Maybe he's in that Harbaugh mold.
Hey, you can mix a couple passes in there, bro, somewhere. I mean, somewhere in there, if you were supposed to be one of these transcendent quarterbacks, quarterbacks, somehow, some way, we're going to figure out a way to get you 150, 200 yards. We ain't having you throwing the ball for 100 yards. Ooh. You know, we got mixed it in the game plan somewhere if you're that dynamic. So, I'm looking at what I would consider an average quarterback. And you mentioned Bo Nix. Bo Nix, the audacity of one Sean Payton, his ego, he thinks he can just take any quarterback. I mean, they bring Zach Wilson in there, which, you know, you get a flyer on him, but he thinks he can make any quarter. And if the quarterback doesn't turn out, it's not his fault. It's the quarterback's fault. So in a few years, we'll find out who Sean Payton is pointing the finger at, because they all turn out to be doo-doo. But it's not going to be Sean Payton's fault. It's going to be their fault. These quarterbacks somehow, way, will figure out a way that it's not his fault. So, Bo Nix, McCarthy. And like I said, the other ones, we'll see what, you know, sometimes a lot of it is just the landing place. You know, Michael Penix, I think because you're going to get a chance to sit and watch for a little bit, eventually when they get you in there, you know, they got a lot of weapons. The problem is, or the weapons going to still be here by the time you get a chance to get behind center. But, you know, the others, Drake May, hit or miss because of where he landed. New England, if you're thinking he's going to be the next Tom Brady just because he looked like Tom Brady, nah. I'm serious. They got problems up in there. And, you know, they've been searching for a few years, and you get rid of, Belichick, and it's same old thing. If you ask me, they don't have enough talent surrounding him. He's going to be trying to carry a load that might be a little too strong to carry, but we'll see if they surround him with weapons and, you know, but that, you know, it's going to be hit or miss with a couple of these guys for sure.
So before we head out of here, and I agree with you, the thing that's interesting to me is just because you are a GM or just because you're in that upper management, don't mean you're smart. Don't mean you're smart. It doesn't mean that you don't fall for the same types of that you're not prey to the same type of pitfalls that us non-GMs are. Meaning, well, you know what? I know I said that I didn't want to take that player right here, but they're right here, so I think I'll just take the player. And it messes up everything when you're saying, wait a minute, but you told me. You told me that the philosophy was that we're going to build this thing slowly. No. We'll build it slowly next year. But right now, we got to take this player now because that player is here. But no. Our board says no. But my gut says, and that, so they're not necessarily the smartest people in the room, because sometimes they fall prey to the same types of impulses that we fall prey to as well.
They do. And it, you know, just goes to show, you know, you talk about, you would think at the top of the game that these GMs, they built, and sometimes, like, how did he get to that position making stupid bonehead moves like this? It sometimes questions, it's just like, it just makes you question, like, with people with money sometimes. It's like, how did they make all that money? Because it's so stupid. And the same thing goes with these GMs sometimes and owners of teams. That just because you're rich or in certain positions does not make you a genius. And there are people within the industry right now shaking their head like, what the hell are they thinking? And how did they get that job? And, you know, it's crazy, man.
I wonder about the Bears drafted Dunze when they got wide receivers. They got wide receivers. Man, they got wide receivers.
I said the same thing when they made the pick last night. I was like, you went out and get all these wide receivers. You got them from Carolina. You get them from Chargers. You got, go out and get more. It's like you had to have another position that you could have beefed up on the defensive end. You put all this into the offense. Do something on the other side of the ball. I don't care what it was, but it was a head, one of those head scratches for me too. But, I mean, some GMs will tell you, they take the best on the board and not necessarily what they need the most. And to me, that's not, you know, that's like going shopping at Costco and you got a freezer full of food. Hey, look, chicken on sale. You know, we can't even fit the chicken we have in the doggone freezer out there in the garage. And you want to go get a 80-pack of chicken? It's like, nah, we got enough chicken. But hey, man, that's on sale. We got to get that, right? No, nah, you don't.
Better analogy. My wife went to the, and we had now, we went to Costco. She came back with sauerkraut, a thing of sauerkraut. And you know, at Costco, the sauerkraut is huge. And I said, we don't even eat that much sauerkraut.
She said, it's on sale, babe.
Yeah, I said, you know what? Now we're going to have to put sauerkraut in eggs. We're going to have to put it on, on toast. What are we doing with this? But that is Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. We do this thing three times a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend about what we got going on. Go to EZSportsTalk.com, EZSportsTalk.com. And then you can also, we encourage you to subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. That's at The Easy Sports Talk Show, The Easy Sports Talk Show. And as we always like to say around this time, are you kidding?